Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 Oaks. Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Very happy that you're listening. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, welcome from everywhere. I hope you're cozy. Get cozy with me. I'm cozy right now. I've got some peppermint tea today. Just felt like some peppermint tea. And just very happy to be here. Grateful that I'm sober. Another day of sobriety. It's a big deal. Simple. It's simple to take it for granted. Easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I look up words and phrases. And I have since I got sober. I couldn't read when I got sober. No comprehension skills, couldn't read, so I looked up a lot of words. As a matter of fact, the first two words I looked up, as I was about to look up words from the big book, were Bohemian and Rhapsody. I didn't know what either of them meant. And then I looked up Sultans because of the Dire Straits song Sultans of Swing, which was the first song I heard in sobriety. And then I looked up a bunch of stuff from the Big Book and a bunch of other stuff. I never really stopped doing that. When I read a book, this summer, for example, I read, I think, 3 books, and I was stopping pretty frequently and looking up words. But anyways, rest on our laurels is what made me think of that. And to be satisfied with past achievements, something along those lines. Our big book says it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. It's easy to let up on this program of spiritual action and just be happy with what we did yesterday, or last year, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. I'm guilty of it many times. Well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I remember I helped that guy, and he helped that guy, and, you know, it doesn't matter today. It doesn't matter. So I think about that. Got to speak last night at a place called the Valley Club in the San Fernando Valley. I'd never been there. I guess it's not the original location, but because I'm friends with someone who used to frequent the original location, he was telling me that it's not there anymore, but it was a great experience. It's huge. So many people. And I was an honor to do anything for AA. Always an honor. I feel like I was supposed to be there. Anytime AA asks me to do something, I always feel like I'm supposed to do that. The rest of the day, not always so sure. Anyways, I wanted to read an email to you all from a listener. And I get emails, and they touch me, and they mean a lot to me. So for all those people who write to me, thank you. It means a lot. It reaches me. It's not in vain. I appreciate it a lot. But I wanted to read one to you. And I had written to this person asking if it was okay if I shared this on the show. And he was delighted by that idea. So he's happy to allow that. Hopefully it will help someone. He writes, just wanted to let you know your podcasts help me get through a very difficult and challenging time. I frequently stay at a hotel in Fort Collins, Colorado, while attending tax classes. For the past 20-plus years, I would drink excessively in the hotel room. When I walked into the hotel room last week, the urge to drink overwhelmed me. I did my best to suppress the sensation to drink. I entered my room and planned to order food. I noticed 3/4 of the menu was alcoholic beverages. 1/4 was actually food. After I placed my order, just food, I thought, what do I do now? Anxiety filled me. Temptation filled me. The desire to drink filled me. I thought, well, let me try and listen to some of your recovery radio podcasts. Your voice, your humor, your recovery message removed my desire to drink and removed my anxiety. I felt a peace. I felt calm and relaxed. I felt soothed. For that, I am again truly grateful to you. Wishing you the best, Barry. P.S. I like birds and Judas Priest too. If you've listened to the show, you know I love those two things. Anyways, that letter. I don't know what your reaction to that letter is, but it made me cry. For a lot of reasons. I mean, I relate to that feeling. If you've listened to the shows, an early recovery or the obsession returns, those episodes, I might talk about that period where I had the desire to drink so bad, and I just feel so deeply for Barry and anyone and everyone who's in that spot. And so it inspired me to want to read something from the Big Book on this show and share this with you. It's on page 84 and 85. And it is all I ever wanted. And, you know, it says in step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourself could restore us to sanity. What that step is saying, according to my understanding of the Big Book, is we came to believe there was a power greater than ourselves that could remove our desire to drink. And I'm going to read on page 84 and 85. In the book Alcoholics Anonymous, when it describes being restored to sanity, what does that look like? And this is what it looks like. This is by the time someone is on step 10. Not necessarily at that time, but by this time, if we have carefully followed directions, this should be our experience. Actually, before I read it, I'll just say, if this book were a recipe book for brownies, what this is saying is, if you have carefully followed directions, if you have put the right amount of ingredients in, if you've followed what isn't written in here carefully, by this time you will have, this is what your brownies should look like and taste like. So if it says put in a teaspoon of salt, don't put in a teaspoon of sugar because it's the same color. It's different. If it says use 2 cups of flour, and you don't have 2 cups of flour, so you put in 1 cup of flour, your brownies are not going to come out the way the recipe is describing. So what I'm about to read is saying, if you have carefully followed directions, by this time, this is what it should look like. Does that make sense? And it's my favorite thing in the big book, and it's all I ever wanted. 84. Last full paragraph. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Ceased fighting alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor, meaning it will not happen often. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We'll hardly ever be tempted, and when we are, on those rare occasions, we will recoil the way we recoil from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. This happens automatically. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. In other words, we haven't even said, I'm never drinking again. I personally have never said that to myself, because I know I have a daily reprieve. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. So I'm not saying, I got this. I'm good. I've got this. I used to do insurance for a rehabilitation center for drug-addicted persons and alcoholics. And a huge red flag, so everyone knows, for insurance companies is when the client says, I got this. I'm good to go. The more self-confidence they have concerning alcohol, the deeper the red in the flag. Just something to throw out there. Anyways, we have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Yeah, I lived in New York City for a really long time, and in New York City is, I mean, there's alcohol everywhere. I mean, there's alcohol everywhere. And there's drugs everywhere, too. I mean, it's everywhere. But thank God the Big Book's solution is not to avoid temptation. Sometimes we have to. An early recovery, but fortunately for all of us, and fortunately for you if this is your situation, that's not the long-term solution. So that is how we will react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That's why my spiritual condition is my biggest priority. It's my biggest focus. Because if I stop taking this stuff seriously and I stop growing spiritually and stop enlarging my spiritual life, what I just read will no longer be my experience. That's the experience I have today. That was my experience today. My good friend Dave, who's been on the show, has this great analogy about the first drink. He equates it to a boxer. An opponent in a boxing ring. And sorry, Dave, if I'm butchering this somehow, but this is what I remember. It's great. He says that the first drink is like this opponent who's just, you know, this huge opponent. And I can train and I can study my opponent. But the bottom line is, as an alcoholic, if that opponent shows up in the ring, eventually he will win. Meaning I could win a round, or I can win a bunch of rounds, but eventually he's going to win the fight. The only way for me to win is if he just does not show up. And that's what I just read. What I just read is opening your eyes in the morning and looking around and he's not in the ring. The problem has been removed. He's not there. I'm not fighting him. I told you guys that I fought him for a long time in early recovery. The obsession to drink returned with a vengeance, and it was hell on earth. And eventually, I would have lost, but God intervened and put somebody in my life. I was just living moment to moment for a long time. So I'm very empathetic and sensitive to anyone who is struggling with the idea of drinking or using. And I wanted to share all this with you, hopefully to give you hope, to say, I have been there, and I'm not there today, and I did not drink. And ultimately, in a nutshell, the answer for me was to further remove self that had blocked me from a higher power. I mean, another way to put that was I was still deeply consumed with myself. And I didn't see it. And I didn't think I was. But I was. And I see it now, but I didn't see it at the time. And it's just so this show, I really wanted to do this show when I read that email. I wanted to do a show for the author of that email and for anyone else who is going through something similar and not expressing it. I just wanted to say it's possible. You never have to drink again. I'm living proof of that. I'm really living proof of that. I had a situation this weekend that I will talk about that relates to something I'm saying. it relates to me wanting to grow spiritually and trying to stay on top of keeping in fit spiritual condition. So something happened this weekend where actually I was having a third step meeting. And every once in a while, it'll seem like the time is right and people will say, let's do it. And a bunch of people will get together and they'll bring their sponsees and we'll huddle around a table or in a park or wherever and read the third step out of the big book, the whole thing. And we'll talk about it. And it's awesome. And anyways, we did it at this in this house, volunteered with by a friend of mine. And there were some people who didn't find out about it. And it hurt them that they weren't invited. They felt slighted. And, you know, I don't want to slight anyone. I don't want any of these people to be hurt. It's the furthest thing from my heart. I don't want that. It wasn't anything personal at all. And so, but it's really tempting to just defend myself. And that's it. Just say, hey, what the fuck's wrong with you guys? All of you. Don't you know me? Don't you know me enough to know I'm not trying to hurt you? And, when I'm in that state of mind, the first thing I think that's healthy is that I'm seeking to be understood as opposed to seeking to understand. I'm into self. I want to flip that around. What am I not understanding? Why am I miffed? Why am I upset right now? There's something I'm not understanding. I talked about this, I think, in the resentment episode, the teeter-totter, you know? The more resentful I am, the less I'm understanding. Spiritually speaking, I believe that's true. And it wasn't until I was able to put myself in these people's individual situations mentally as best I could and seek to understand where they were coming from and how it seemed that way and how they could feel that way and the validity of that and be loving, be compassionate, be caring, express it. I mean, I've felt slighted, I've felt wronged, I've felt left out, I've felt uninvited, I've taken things personally that weren't personal, too many times to ever count. So I have to remember that. And what that feels like. And, trying to live the third step. What do you want me to do? I work for you. What do you want me to do? I believe God wants me to be loving. And, as tender as I can be. I believe that, seeking to understand, supposed to be understood, is it's a sound aim to have as I navigate this crazy life in this crazy world. So I just want to share with you that, let you know when I say my spiritual condition matters to me, and that's just a little tiny sample of what that looks like in my daily life. And these people were mad, some of them. They were really mad. It hurt. And I was, my first instinct is not to understand always. It's to defend myself. You have to understand where I'm coming from. Seek to be understood. So, you know, I just wanted to share that. That's a little bit of what it looks like. I mean, I could go on and on. I got a ton of stories like that. What's so beautiful about the 12 steps and Alcoholics Anonymous is, yeah, all these people that I'm referring to, now I feel closer to them than I did before this happened because of the conversations that happened. Now I feel closer to them than I did before that happened. Because we all kind of did the same thing. We all just sort of looked for our part and took ownership of our side of it and were vulnerable with each other and understanding of the other person. And, you know, as a result of all of us looking inward and admitting our fault in it, we all are closer now. So it's cool. I'm not happy today because everybody just does things my way. And I'm not happy today because things just go smoothly in my life. Those are not the reasons that I feel good. They're not the reasons that I'm in an excellent mood today. They're not the reasons that I wake up hopeful and excited and go to bed grateful. They're not the reasons. In fact, some of the reasons for those things are because of what I'm talking about, because of what we get to do with bumpy water now. We get to, the steps are, you know, transformative. They get to cause us to grow closer to other people and to, I think, God as a result. It's just my opinion. It's not in the book, so you can throw it out. My own experience is that, you know, I'm as close to my higher power. I feel as close to my higher power as I do feel to people in general. So my own barometer is when I feel like cut off of half the world and really connected to half the world, I'm like half connected to God. But that's me. That's personal. That's neither here nor there in the grand scheme of things. I'm glad I did this show. I really wanted to. Having a little hard time talking today. I've been recording an audio version of the Sarcastic Big Book, which will hopefully be approved and available soon. Sometimes I do comedy, and, you know, I have a really good deadpan. You wouldn't necessarily know it on this show. I don't know. I don't know how much that comes out on this show. I don't know how much of my personality comes out on this show. Usually I'm a smartass. And I don't know. But anyways, it's a lot. It's a lot of exercise for the talking part of my brain. I did. It was a month ago that I had the stroke. And I'm just feeling better. Mentally, there have been some tough nights in particular where I'm, you know, there's just reliving the trauma and convince myself that it's happening again when it's not. But that's getting fewer and further between and feeling better and better and stronger mentally. But the more talking I do, the harder it is, you know. It just feels like my ability to talk is on crutches. But I can do it, and it's getting better, and I'm happy about that. So, anyways, share a little personal stuff with you. So, if you are out there, and you are having an experience where you are struggling, I'm just here to tell you that you can get through it. I'm living proof of that. And you are not alone. And you might feel like you're alone, but you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not alone. The plan is not for you to just collapse and crumble. That's not the plan. That's not the plan. So hang in there. Easy does it. You can do it. My sponsor, who always yelled, always sounded like he always sounds like he yells when he talks, used to say, easy does it, but do it. Easy does it, but do it. Anyways, I'll just say easy does it. All right. All right. Now, I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. And I really hope you do the same. Good night.